Turn to chapter 1 in Proverbs, if you would, this morning, please. And in order to get started here, I'd like to ask this question. How many know what a farmer is? How many know what a farmer is? Did I tell you last year? I may have told you last year. How many farmers do we have here? I doubt if you even know what a farmer is. Well, I'm going to tell you. A farmer is a man outstanding in his field. How many of you know what horse sense is? Horse sense is simply stable thinking. Couldn't we use a lot more horse? And that's what Proverbs is all about, a wise man. First of all, I'd like to say that a wise man will hear. Are you listening? A wise man will hear. In chapter 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. So a wise man will hear. And we need to hear what God has to say to us. Amen? A wise man will hear. We need to be listening. We're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We ought to hear twice as much as we talk, right? How many of us are guilty of that? We need to shut our mouth down and do a little listening. But a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. We need wise counsel in our world today. It's almost like common sense has just sort of gone out the window, isn't it? I mean, that's all the way from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. We could use some wise men in Washington, D.C. We could use some wise men throughout our country. They're on this drug problem again. If you've noticed, we have a serious drug problem in America. We were going up north several years ago, and we stopped in Terre Haute into a mall because my wife always has to buy something, right? And there they had the police, the sheriff's department, they had the fire department, they had every kind of agency that you can imagine there to demonstrate what they do, to show what they were all about. And they had this one place where they had all these drugs set up, all this drug paraphernalia to show you what the drugs were all about. And I walked over and I was talking to a policeman, and I said, I don't believe we've got a drug problem in America. And I think he sized me up real quick. He said, oh, he said, I'd like to hear more about that. I said, I don't think we have a drug problem in America. I said, I think we have a sign problem. I said, they used to smoke in restaurants, and all they did was put up a sign that said no smoking. That's all they did. And all over the country, they've got signs that says no smoking, and people honor that. Well, the White House does not have a sign that says no drugs. What if the White House put up a sign that said no drugs? I remember seeing on national television 25, 30 years ago, Willie Nelson bragging about standing on the roof of the White House smoking marijuana with Secret Service agents. And Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite presidents, had kids that were into drugs, sex, and rock and roll. They bragged about it. So the White House has never had a sign that says no drugs. The Congress doesn't have a sign that says no drugs. The Senate doesn't have a sign that says no drugs. The governor's mansions, I've never seen a sign any place where they've advertised that says no drugs. In my opinion, all they'd have to do would be to put up a sign that says no more drugs. And the drug problem would disappear in America. And so a wise man will hear counsel. A wise man, number two, is a hard worker. He is a hard worker. In chapter 10, if you'll skip over there with me, will, in verse 5, it says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." So a wise man is not only a person that will hear, but is a person that is a hard worker, working hard all of his life. Brother Ross and I were talking a little bit about before the service about Faith Music Missions and how we started with records. And he said, "Do you still have any records? They're coming back." And I said, "Well," I said, "you know," I said, "I used to build houses and remodel houses, and that's what was my full-time ministry, to be in the full-time ministry." And I'm the type of person that my grandfather taught me this, my father taught me this: you never throw away anything. Anybody like that? You never throw away? It'll catch up with you sooner or later. And I'm telling you, if it's an old door, an old window, I kept it. If it's a 2x4, used 2x4 with nails in it, I'd keep it. I'd pull the nails out. Sometimes even straighten the nails and use the nails. I'd hold on to all these things, because I was a hard worker and I kept everything. But then came the day when my son Ed got a dumpster in. He's got rid of all of it. With my permission, he didn't do something that he wasn't supposed to do. But a hard worker will gather in the summer, and a wise son will work hard. And not only that, but a wise person will receive commands. Somebody tell you what to do, you do it, okay? And so a wise person will receive commands. In Proverbs 10 and verse 8, it says, "The wise heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." A wise man will receive commands. How we need to listen and do what we're told. Amen? Have you ever... Now, I grew up in the country, and in the country, people argued. Now, nobody around here does that, right? Nobody around here, because you listen to Brother Ross, and you just don't do it. But I remember one time somebody said, "Well, you can't tell me." And the person that was talking to him said, "That's right. Nobody can tell you anything." And so a wise person will receive commands. The wise heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. A wise man will also lay up knowledge. He wants to learn. I made this statement many years ago: everything that could be learned should be learned, and everything that we fail to learn just shows our ignorance. And that is so true. We need to learn. We have the ability to learn. You know, I've got it figured out like this, and I don't know how true it is, I don't know how right I am, but I've got the idea that almost all of us have the same capacity in our brain that the other person has. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. I understand that. Somebody that's born with a defect. But you have the same brain that I have. I have the same brain that you have. You know, I am ignorant. I am ignorant in many things, just like Brother Jerry. He's ignorant in many things, and it's very plain to see. Can you fly an airplane? Okay, he's ignorant of airplanes. Okay. And you can make a list a mile long of things that he's ignorant in. I am ignorant of airplanes. I don't know how to fly an airplane. My wife and I went to French Lick here not too long ago and rode a train. First time we ever rode a train in all of our life. But I was ignorant of trains. And, there's a list a mile long of what I'm ignorant in, and it's simply because I just simply didn't learn it. Now, I don't have to learn the law. I don't have to be a lawyer. I could have been, probably could have been, if I'd have wanted to, if I desired to be a lawyer, I could have probably been a lawyer. I could have been a doctor, but I didn't choose to be a doctor. So I'm ignorant of the law, and I'm ignorant of medicine, and I'm ignorant of so many, many things, but there's one thing that we have no excuse to be ignorant of, and that's the Bible. We need to learn. A wise man will lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And so a wise man, he's going to learn some things, And we need to learn. You know, the Bible talks about ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that should not be the case of a Christian. We should have a quest for knowledge. We should want to learn some things. We ought to want to learn how to do things and do it right. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, practice makes perfect? That's not a right statement. That's not a right statement. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you learn to do something the wrong way, that's the way you'll do it. And you can practice to be wrong and learn to do it wrong. I had a brother that played the piano and he played with his four fingers. He played pretty good, he was pretty good, but he never did learn how to do it right. So therefore, it limited him in what he could play on the piano. But he excelled in what I could do, far more than what I could do. But anyway, a wise man will lay up knowledge. Also, a wise man will control his lips. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. All right? In Proverbs 10 and 19, in the multitude of words there is wanton, not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Have you ever noticed sometimes it's just best to just keep your mouth shut? We don't learn that very well, do we? I was always real quick to spout off what I thought about things. That's what you get from growing up in Kentucky, okay? But anyway, a wise man will control his lips. He's going to try to have some control over what he says. A wise man will humble himself. Humble yourself down in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Chapter 11, verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. And so we need to be humble. Humility is almost a thing of the past in our country today because everybody knows everything there is to know about anything there is to know about, right? And that's the world that we live in because we are highly educated today beyond our ability to think or do. A wise man will display leadership qualities. And everybody has got leadership qualities from one level to another. And by the way, if you practice that leadership ability, it'll lead you to be more of a leader as time goes on. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. And so leadership qualities is very, very important. And leadership is always someone that receives command and is willing to do what he's told. You take the CEO of a big company. The CEO of a big company, they may pay him $5 million a year. But you know what? He's supposed to do exactly what they hired him to do. He says, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, just get out. Somebody else wants your job for $5 million a year. And so we need to listen. We need to develop our leadership qualities at every stage, at every level of our life. And then a wise person will win souls. That's what this church has been about ever since I've known anything at all about this church. This church is known all over the nation as a soul-winning church, from father to son and right on down the line. That's amazing, isn't it? So Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So a wise man is someone that will try to win someone else to the Lord. We need to be in the soul-winning business. A wise man will listen to counsel. Chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We can all learn something from everybody around us. Everybody becomes our teacher. Isn't it wonderful that we can learn something even from a child? So we need to learn. A wise man will control his tongue. Isn't that right? There is he that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There are some people that just don't know when to shut up and when to quit talking. And so we need to control our tongue. A wise person will listen to their parents. In chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So a wise son will listen to his father. A wise son will learn from his father. You know, what you learn from somebody else keeps you from going through the hardship that they went through to learn what they learned the hard way. Did you get that? We need to learn that because, you know, that's one reason when I was called to preach, somebody asked me, where are you going to go to college? I said, Lord didn't call me to go to college, call me to preach. Amen. Because I was from Kentucky, and you know, you didn't have to go to school to be a preacher. Well, the truth is, these young people that go to college, they're learning from people that learned the hard way what not to do. And they learn the hard way of what to do. And so we need to be learning from our parents, from other people, instruction, and so forth. A wise person is well informed. We need to be informed on many different aspects of life. Like I said earlier, everything that can be learned should be learned, and everything we fail to learn just shows our ignorance. And we're all ignorant on certain things. And it's okay to choose ignorance in certain things. Like Brother Ross, I was talking about airplanes. You know, I chose to be ignorant about airplanes. I could learn to fly an airplane. Have no doubt about it. Any airplane pilots here today? Any airplane pilots here today? So every one of you are ignorant when it comes to airplanes. And that may be something that you chose to be ignorant. I chose to be ignorant when it comes to airplanes. And you did too, didn't you? And that's okay. But it's not okay when it comes to the Word of God. God wants us to learn His Word. And a wise father's instruction will instruct him about the things of God. And number 13, a wise person can take a chewing out. Oh boy, we don't like it. We don't want it. But it may be something that we need. And it may be something that we learn, you know. And we can take reproof and we can take a chewing out. And we can say, well, I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to learn my lesson. But so many times somebody chews us out about something, our first reaction is to get mad and to get revenge. And so that's a wise person. A wise person is someone that's going to seek the things of God. How important that is. In reverse of that, we see the characteristics of the simple. There's a lot of simple people, and it's okay to be simple. And I'm simple. I'm just a simple old country boy. But Proverbs 14 and verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You tell a simple person something, they say, oh yeah, that's right. They believe every word you say. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to find out about this, and I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to make sure that he's telling me the right thing. Simple means unpleaded or inexperienced. And we have a lot of inexperienced people in this world today. This is the young person who has not gotten acquainted with life's dangers. And children need to be taught about dangers of life on every hand because they come at us from every corner. And you need to be teaching your children to do that. Matter of fact, I've got a little thing that I adopted from my dad. My dad was sort of a harsh person, and you never spoke back to him. And when he told you to do something, you did it. You didn't say, eh. That's a Kentucky word, okay? Do you have that word up here? Eh. Okay. But I sort of adapted that into my kids, and my kids adapted in their kids. And we've come up with this thing that children should learn to obey the fourth time they're told something, right? Something just went off in your head, didn't it? Children should actually be taught to obey the third time, the second time, the first time. Now, wouldn't it be something if all children obeyed the first time their parents? By the way, it's not the children's job to do that. It's the parents' job to teach them that. And by the way, if you'll teach them in advance, it'll save you tons of heartache. You teach them before they get in trouble. For instance, you can take a little boy or a little girl and you can say, okay, we're going to practice this. You're going to obey mommy, you're going to obey daddy the first time. I want you to go over there and sit down on that seat. And they go over and sit down on that seat. Then you brag on them for obeying the first time. You teach them before they get in trouble. You don't wait for them to get in trouble and then unload on them, but you teach them beforehand. And the book of Deuteronomy talks about that when you stand by the way and when you so forth and so on. I can't call that scripture to mind right now. It just popped in my head. But you know, you're to teach them in the morning, in the day, in the evening, at night. You teach them all 24 hours a day. You're in the teaching process and you teach your children to obey the first time. Now, if they don't obey the first time, have a little grace. But you're still teaching them to obey the first time. And you'll be amazed at how much heartache you save them and yourself. Because when you tell them to do something, they'll do it because they're obeying the first time. It does work. This simplicity also applies to new Christians. New Christians, they're very simple-minded. Yeah, they're very simple and what they come to church and they think everybody else is better than them, you know. They didn't know that we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and we're all in need, and we're all learning, and we're all going forward. And so it applies to the easily swayed. They are the target of schemes and cults galore. The cults and schemers, they go out all the time knocking on doors, getting people to listen to them teach and preach their false doctrine. And the simple-minded are caught up in that. And once they get ingrained in it, it's hard to get them out of it. Really. The wise man knows God's command, but the simple does not. Proverbs was written for us to avoid life's traps. And there are traps laid for you everywhere you turn. Have you noticed that? There's always a trap for you. Satan is always trying his best to trap you in some way. Proverbs 7:7 says, "And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding." Young people need to be taught. They need to be taught understanding. Because, you know, they go out into this world and I'm going to preach tonight on music, you know, but the Pied Piper, Satan, has led our young people away, and the older people have just sat back and watched them go. God help us to learn how to teach our young people to discern understanding. Here's a simple one that fell into immorality because he was not aware of the dangers. There is no sin in being simple. And if I ask you, you'd probably say, well, I'm just a simple person. No sin in that. But it is a sin to stay simple. We all need to be learning some things for the glory of God. Because you see, Proverbs is full of wisdom. And, you know, I don't understand the Bible. Do you understand the Bible? Do you understand the Bible? I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand how Solomon could be the wisest man in the world. Where does that put you and me? I see him as pretty stupid myself. I see Solomon as making some very difficult decisions that took him away from God. As I've got it figured out, Brother Ross, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but Solomon died at 57. Is that right? Wasn't he 17 when he started reigning? something like that. He was just a youth, and he reigned for 40 years. So at the most, he was in his late 50s. So he didn't live to be an old man, because his wisdom carried him to a place where he should not go, and his sins that he got involved in led him away, his wives and so forth and so on. Because I see this as a worldly wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man ever in this world. And if he got in trouble, and if he made a mess out of his life, woe unto you and me. And I'm not saying he wasn't wise. He was wise. But his wisdom was a world's wisdom, and it wasn't heavenly wisdom all the time. And God wanted to work in his heart and work in his life. And God did work in his heart and did work in his life. But you know, like in the book of Judges, when God would bless, everything would be just fine. And then they would get away from God, and God would bring his judgment upon them. And when the judgment would come upon them, we see that they would repent, and then they'd come back to God, and everything would be fine again. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe there's some things in your heart and life that you need to take some checks and balances of. Where do you stand? Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Do you want to be wise? The wisdom is there for anybody to take. Wisdom is crying out to you. She's crying out, and she wants to give herself to you. And she's wisdom that would give herself to you. There's no reason why any of us could not have the wisdom of God in our hearts and in our lives.